on, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Vile Files, your ass Nick editions. Thanks for listening, because we know you love these shows. We love bringing it to you. Can't thank you enough. We have a great episode for you. Just want to check in with the ladies. How is your summer going?
I just had so many family and people visit me that I couldn't be more excited.
So nice to hear.
I'm so excited to have visitors.
I'm doing well. I discovered a new salad recipe.
What a win.
It's a new fresh salad recipe.
Okay, I know salads sound lame, but I think
why do salads need recipes?
Well, okay, I mean, a combination.
Of course they do.
You know, I discovered
salads?
Okay, it's with
what
fresh
do you mean,
peaches.
Salads don't need recipes, Chrissy.
I've never looked at a recipe to make a salad. Like, what kind of salad needs a recipe?
Well, I invented it, is what I'm saying here.
Do you know how to make a kale salad that I make, Chrissy?
No, because you make your own kale salad. If I was going to make kale salad, I would just put kale, maybe some cranberries.
What do you put in your kale
nuts.
Salad?
So you would need the recipe to make my kale salad.
Eating kale is like the same thing as like hearing
a
Velcro noise.
It's a fair statement. But like, I just don't go looking for recipes when I want to make a salad. I just kind of throw a bunch of stuff in it.
But you were shocked at the idea that...
I've just never gone to look
anyway,
for
I think I proved my point.
Recipe.
Amanda, you were saying...
No, it's just, it's awesome. It's I use fresh peaches, some like crumbled goat cheese, and then a little bit of basil, and then pistachios to add a bit of crunch on top.
Basil.
You don't like basil?
Basil, cilantro, it's not my jam.
In Chrissy's world, she's only heard of a salad that has lettuce, carrots, radishes, tomatoes, and Italian dressing.
No, I said cranberries, nuts. I'll do feta, goat cheese.
You know, when you go to a restaurant, they're like, would you like the house salad or the Caesar? Those are two different recipes.
I'm gonna slap you next time I see you.
I'm just, am I nuts?
I just never needed to look up a recipe for a salad. That's all I'm saying. I'm not buying the salad cookbook. That's all my point is.
Your fat girl doesn't know how to eat salad. That's what it's gonna be, you watch.
I hate
that. I'm gonna kill them. If someone says that to you, I'm gonna hunt them down and kill them.
It's a par for the course at this point. Oh God! So it's funny. I know it's funny, Nick. It's funny, but that's what's gonna happen.
Yeah,
that's exactly what's gonna happen.
She doesn't even care about recipes. She just eats it. You know,
she just eats the cookbook. She doesn't even have the salad. She puts ranch on the cookbook paper.
I don't care what it is. It's food. Give it to me now.
Oh God, it's funny. All right, that was a good belly laugh. The belly that's filled with ranch and croutons, because that's all I think a salad is: ranch and croutons.
Like what? You put lettuce in your salad? I just have croutons and ranch
so
dressing.
And ranch and croutons.
Anywho, we have a great episode for you. You know, a lot of the same of me just holding people accountable for the crazy things they say to themselves.
Oh my God.
We also have a great week for you. Recapping the Bachelorette is Max. He's a fantastic artist. I've told him this. If I could have a musician's voice, he would be in my top five. He also was the musical guest on the Bachelorette. So he has a bit of inside scoop, a little bit about what's going down. And he's also just a huge Bachelor fan, and he helps us break down the Bachelorette. Be sure to check that out tonight, tomorrow, whenever you listen to your recaps. And we also have the legendary Steve-O from Jackass here with us on Wednesday. He's such a fascinating guy, thoughtful. He's been around a while, and just have a great conversation with Steve-O. So be sure to check that out, and you will have some insightful takeaways. I promise you that. Thanks for listening. As always, tell your friends, subscribe, rate, 5 stars, all that fun stuff. Now let's get to our callers.
Question time with Nick. Let's ask Nick your sexy questions.
How's it going?
Good.
What's your name?
My name's Jane. I'm 59.
Hi, Jane, 59. How can I help?
Okay, I had this encounter with somebody. I had hired this guy to work around my house, and he was building stuff and, you know, fixing things, and we had a good relationship. He was referred by a family member. And so he felt like part of the family, young guy. I thought he was like 27. And then, so we're going along, you know, everything's good. We have a good working relationship. And then he starts saying things like, do you want to come to my home country sometime? And this and that, talking about other people that have made a pass at him, El Salvador.
Okay.
And so, nice guy. And he has a wife that he doesn't like, and he complains about his wife. And he has two small children, and I know he loves them. So then the other day, the rainstorm happened, and there was thunder and lightning, and everything was very dramatic. And then we were sitting on my back porch waiting it out, talking about how we'd never seen lightning. And then lightning struck like right in front of us.
Were you, neither of you had seen lightning before?
Not like in our present, like an actual shot right in front of us. Like we'd seen it in the distance, but we were ever like, have you seen lightning? Like my sister had an encounter where she saw lightning and it struck her husband and she saw his bones and everything. But anyway, this was just, you know, the lightning hit the fence and then it hit right in front of us. So it was very like already our nerves were heightened, but he was already coming on to me and stroking my chin and saying, well, did you know how beautiful you are? And da, da, da. And I said, this can't happen. This can't happen. There's a boundary right here. You're married. You have children. We work together. This can't happen. And he kept going on and on and on. So then he says, well, can I just put my arm around you? And so he put his arm around me and then he starts stroking my shoulder and everything. And he's really big and I'm, you know, kind of short. And anyway, it felt good. I haven't been in a relationship for like a year. And honestly, the attention just felt really good. And then so finally he just kissed me. Like he said, can I kiss you? And I'd been saying no, 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 no. But, you know, I was kind of curious. So somehow it just, after the lightning, he kissed me. And it was like, oh my God, this is like incredible. This could be like really amazing. But I just kept saying no. And he was like, why, why? I said, you're married. You have small children. My daughter might find out. My sister-in-law might find out. You know, my ex-sister-in-law was who referred him. And it was like, I didn't want anybody else to know. If it could be secret, it would be amazing. But I knew it would never be a secret. I'm freaking 59 years old. I know these things. I know they, you know, it always comes out. How many rom-coms? You're not supposed to be with a married man. That's it. So anyways, afterwards, he left. He finally left. He kissed me two more times and I just stayed, you know, I didn't participate.
Wait, you had your sealed lips and you just kissed your sealed lips? What do you mean you didn't participate?
Yeah, the first time I engaged.
Okay.
The second time I tried not to engage.
You just went like this and he...
But at the very last thing, I was like, no, I'm not doing this. And he would try to kiss me and I just... Yeah.
Okay.
Because he just, he had to get the message. I was kind of confused too, because all of a sudden, even though I'm 59, he says, well, I'll be, I said, you're 27. He said, no, I'll be 30 next year. I said, well, I'll be 60 next year. And he was like, 60? And then he was like, well, you don't look 60. And I said, yeah, well, that doesn't matter. It's like, I've been around the block. I know a few things. I know that this is just going to get messy and it wouldn't. But on the other hand, man, after he left, I just knew how good it could be. The kiss was like nothing I've had. And I can't even remember a kiss like that. And it was like, oh my God, he just could have swept me off my feet. I could have had this amazing, I mean, when am I ever going to get that again? But oh my God. Anyway, so I wrote you because I was like, I know this is wrong, but can't you just tell me I can do it once?
That's what you called for? Permission?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what, no.
But I know I can't have it.
Yeah, I mean, I. What do you want me to say?
I don't know. No, you can't do that.
Well, you know that. Are you going to do it?
No, I can't. How can I do that? It's like I know I can't do that.
Sure, people do things all the time they know they shouldn't do. Nothing like great outdoor furniture to impress your friends and feel comfortable, and Article is making that happen. article's latest outdoor looks, Desert Modern. From easygoing lounging to long table luncheons, the pieces of Desert Modern are made to melt into. And their deep, earthy tones, highlighted by warm wooden finishes, make this a distinct summery look. That's right. Article is the easiest way to make your space look beautiful. Look like a outdoor furniture designer, look like a professional, and don't break the bank doing it with Article Modern finishes, beautifully designed, and easy and fair prices. They also make the shopping experience super easy. If you ever change your mind and you didn't like what you bought online, they will exchange it for you. No hassle, no questions asked. They cut out the middleman. They give the savings to you. Fast, affordable shipping is available across the United States and Canada, and it's free with orders over $999. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. Go to article.com/VIALL and the discount won't be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/VIALL to get $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. Huzzah! Probiotic. Let me tell you, I've talked about it on my Instagram. It is a really great drink. It was so great that I didn't even like do an ad for him. I was just like, hey, this shit's good. And by shit, I mean it's a probiotic. You got to stay hydrated in the summer. You got to take care of your gut. Your gut health does so much on your body, your immune system, your sleeping habits, your like how you feel every day. It's a really important. Trust me. And you can hydrate yourself, and it can taste refreshing. Some of these healthy drinks aren't as good, but Huzzah is delicious and good for you. So when things are heating up, choose Huzzah and experience their probiotic seltzer. They have great flavors as well. A raspberry lemon is my favorite, strawberry hibiscus, juicy pear, all great. And the best part is 3 grams of sugar or less in all of their drinks. So you can't beat it, and it's good for you, and you're not sugary. Get your cooler ready and stock up on Huzzah probiotic seltzer by using code VIALL for 20% off your order at drinkhuzzah.com. That's drinkhuzzah.com, HUZZAH.com, code VIALL for 20% off.
It would just get so messy.
Yeah, I'm torn. I'm like a coin flip whether I think you're going to do it or not. My gut tells me that if he tries aggressively again, that eventually you're going to say yes. So like, what are you going to do? Like, do you plan on still having him come over to do yard work, setting up this romance novel, soft porn kind of situation?
Yeah, he built this beautiful deck, and then I
bet he did.
And then I don't know if this was supposed to be like his congratulations. Like, in his mind, did he think that I was going to say thank you in this way? Or did he just, is this, you know, it's not me. It's not like we'd have a relationship, because it doesn't make any sense.
When was the last time you said you haven't been kissed like this in a while. So like, listen, I can appreciate the excitement it might feel to be hit on by someone who you might think, well, you're too young for me or whatever. And there's an excitement level. I don't know. I mean, literally you're describing like some sort of raunchy romance novel. Lightning strikes the first time he built me a deck with really hard wood and I wasn't sure how to thank him. So, you know, oh, mister, I don't have any money to pay you. But yeah, but all jokes aside, like, you know, like, do you plan on him working for you again?
Yeah, I would like to have a working relationship. I have a lot of projects I need to do and I can't do them. And no, I trust
I'm
him. And
pretty sure you're going to end up sleeping with him or doing something if he keeps it up. Because you want to so bad, right? And here's the thing about when it comes to cheating, and in no way am I excusing you at all, but like, we're humans, right? And people always wonder, like, how could this happen? You know, all these stories that go out there, you know, whatever it is, you know, someone steals money or someone cheats, right? And you're like, how could you ever do that? Well, because we're human and there's variables, and while cheating, there's no exception to cheating, there's no justification for it, but you can understand situations that people get themselves in that leads to them making poor decisions, right? And this, like, you know, you're sitting here, you know, maybe you haven't gotten some in a while. I don't know your situation, but you're being hit on by this attractive, like, guy who's, like, doing all, you're just literally watching him build you a deck, and he's complimenting you. And maybe you haven't had a compliment like that in a while, and it's making you feel really sexy and good about yourself. And that's great that you got to feel that. And so you crossed the line by kissing him, and now you're sitting here torn, like, what should I do? I know I shouldn't do it, right? And we have this way of compromising ourselves by making these justifications, right? Because what you should do is find someone else to, like, rake leaves, right? There are plenty of people who can do yard work, right? There's tons of people. A bunch of, like, you know, other, you know, like, I, that's what I did as a kid. I went door to door and said, hey, can I mow your lawn and whatever? And I tried to make some extra cash. So maybe there's some hardworking, you know, young men who are not going to try to have sex with you or sleep with you, and they're just trying to pay for college or whatever it is, or hire it out. You know, there's other landscapers and things like that. But the fact that you are like, yeah, I'm going to hire him again, like, the part of you that's like, not, like, you're not hard pressed to find, like, someone, right? I mean, to do this work. So the fact that you're willing to do it, there's a part of you that's knows you shouldn't. Or, man, I'm telling you shouldn't, right? But you're probably going to do it anyways. And if you do it, eventually it's going to get to a situation where you're gonna be like, I don't know how this happened. Well, if it does, if you end up sleeping with them, that your answer is because you kept putting yourself in situations that made it harder and harder for you to say no in the moment, right? Like, it just got so, the temptation got so strong and your willpower just gave in. And that's what people do all the time. You know, they'll know they shouldn't cheat. They'll know they're, you know, interacting with a married guy or whatever. And they'll say things like, it just happened so fast. Like, I don't know how this happened. It just did. And then that's not true. Like, they actively chose to, right, you know, go out to lunch or have dinner, and they told themselves, we're just friends, this is nothing. But deep down, they knew what this really was all about. And so while your situation is unique in the sense that you're, you know, this, you're an older woman having this interaction with a younger guy, like, the decisions you're considering making is very relatable to all sorts of people, because you know this shouldn't happen, and yet you're still going to put yourself in a situation that's going to most likely lead to him still trying. And now it becomes a game of cat and mouse. Like, you've rejected him, but, like, also, like, you've showed that you like it. And so he's just going to keep, you know, and I don't know his situation. He says he hates his wife or whatever, you know. And so your invitation to say rake my leaves is him saying, he's probably hearing, she probably wants me to keep hitting on her, right?
Yeah.
And you're not saying, you're not, it doesn't, in nowhere in the, no way, nowhere, and, like, you know, I'm not saying in any way, like, your nose sounds like, by what you're saying, was that kind of flirty, like, no, we shouldn't do it. Like, you know, we shouldn't, you know, like, did you ever say, no, please stop, this is disrespectful, I'm going to have you, like, did you give him a really clear no?
I said no.
Okay.
And then he started massaging my shoulders.
And did you let him massage your shoulder?
Yeah, but then he said, your shoulders are so tight, and then you want to go to the couch? And I said, no. And I said, no. And he said, well, why? And I said, because you're married, because of this, because of that.
Or why don't you just say, no, I don't, because I don't want you to, because it's disrespectful, because I asked you not to. You say, because you're married. And he's like, well, I'm not, I mean, barely, I'm married. I hate her, right? Like, technically, you know.
And in the moment, I really turned into, like, a young girl again.
Again, I get it. The point is, you're a human being, right? And as human beings, we're flawed individuals who make mistakes, and we have things like egos, and we have weaknesses, and we have vulnerabilities, and we are very easily, you know, compromised, especially when we put ourselves in vulnerable positions. And so the way to stop doing that is to stop, like, stop putting yourself in this situation. Again, like, We all know how this is going to play out if you keep having him come over, because you want him. You want to hook up. You want something to happen. And the reason you're not going to do it is because you're trying to do the right thing, the righteous thing, and not be part of an infidelity.
Right.
But, you know, again, so the strength you have to show is to just not put yourself in the situation and hire someone else and not have them come over and just end it.
Right. And then I get really mad because why did he fuck up this situation? I'm sorry for saying that, but I swear you, you know,
what do you mean you got merely mad? You love, listen, take it for what it is. You were wrong to kiss him. You got, hey, you got, listen, you got hit on by like a sexy, you know, dude who mows your lawn. Like, it was wrong to do, but whatever. Take that. It's a feather in your cap. Move on. Use that imagery, that story to like, you know, enjoy your time alone, whatever it is. You know, you're not mad at him. Like, whatever. Like, enjoy it. Like, it's, you know, it is what it is. But stop putting the, like, just control what you can control. Like, who gives, you're not in control of him. You don't have to ask yourself, why would he do this? Blah, blah. He did. And now you have to decide for yourself, what am I going to do to put myself in a situation to not do the wrong thing? Because I can almost guarantee you, if you keep hiring him, something else is going to happen. And, you know, and that's the things that people do to get themselves in shitty situations. They lie to themselves. They justify it and be like, oh, it's not, it's fine. I don't want to. I already said no. He knows that I don't want him to. So it's cool now. We're cool. And then deep down you want him to make a move. It sounds like that's what it sounds like. And you're saying out loud, I don't want him to make a move. I don't want you to make a move, but you know, please come over.
So we can't just be friends and go back to professional relationship.
I mean, no, probably not. No. I mean, I can't predict the future, but depends on what your priority is. If your biggest priority, you know, you have three things that are trying to get done, right? Like you're trying to get some chores done, right? You're trying to, you know, not be part of an infidelity.
Uh-huh.
And you're trying to feel sexy. So which of those three things are the biggest priority?
Getting my work done.
Oh, it is. Rather than not being part of infidelity?
Yeah, I don't really want.
So getting leaves, you're getting your lawn mowed is more important than not having an infidelity. No pun intended.
Yeah. Okay. I don't really want, so I know then you don't the care. Sex would be amazing and it's a beautiful fantasy, but the reality,
I don't know if you're understanding my question.
No.
What's more a priority, getting your work done or being labeled a cheater?
Getting my work done.
You would rather get your work done and be labeled a cheater?
No, I'd rather get my work done and not be a cheater.
Okay. Yeah. So
but you're saying I can't get the work done by him.
By him.
And not have sex with him. That eventually I'll always have sex with him somehow.
You want to have sex with him. That's fine. You can say
in the back of my mind, but
that's fine. It's human.
I mean, I'm a Pisces, and even though I want to have sex with him, I also don't want to have sex with him.
Okay. But it sounds like you want to have sex with him. And if he was single, you would totally have had sex with him.
Totally.
Right? So, yeah. And since other people can do work around your house, it's a simple solution. The fact that you are having such a hard time accepting the fact there are plenty of people you can hire and you're trying to be like, oh, no, he does such a good job, is you making excuses. And whether it's your ego or the, you know, whatever part you have that's just saying, hey, no, just like convince yourself that he's the only person that can do this. Because what you want to do is get yourself in a situation where you feel like, you know, it just happened and you don't realize. And then you wake up from this like euphoric, like orgasmic experience where you're just like, I don't know how that happened, but it was so good. And like, so like, don't do it. You know, and so the choice is yours. As you know, you're an adult woman. You're in control of the situation and you're trying to figure out ways to compromise your values and the things that you say are important to you. And the answer is simple. You just hire someone else. And if you don't hire someone else, then you are, you know, it's like, what's a metaphor? You're just like, oh, robbing a bank is wrong, you know, but I'm just going to like show up. But these, you know, your friends are like, hey, we're going to rob a bank. You're like, no, it's wrong. I don't want to do that. They're like, we're going to get millions of dollars. You're like, you know, but it's stealing. They're like, yeah, well, if you come, like, you know, we'll definitely pay you. And you're like, no, but it's wrong. But like, I don't know, maybe it'll just be fun to watch. Well, should I show up? I don't know. Maybe I should show up. I don't know. And then you're just like, but it's wrong. And then like, if you show up, you're going to end up taking the money. You're going to be too tempted.
it's going to seem too easy, you know. Let's assume in this scenario of bank robbing, there's a guarantee no one's getting caught. So, like, you're like, oh, but it's wrong. I don't want to do it. But you show up anyways. You tell yourself, I'm not going to take any money. I'm just going to watch them do it. I'm actually going to be there to protect them or whatever bullshit you tell yourself. And that's the stuff that people do all the time when they, you know, get in these situations. So, you know, if you do the wrong thing, eventually you can think back in this moment and it will be your fault. You know, you will be partly the blame, and it will be because you knew the right thing and you made a bunch of decisions that put you in a situation that you knew was, you know, going to lead to something wrong. And these are the lies we tell ourselves to try to make ourselves feel better about making bad decisions.
So the aspect of just expecting him to be honorable is out of the question.
Well, he's not your problem. You're your problem. You can't control what he can controls, and you are recognizing that you want to have sex with him. Okay. That's what I'm saying. You want to put all the responsibility on him. Despite you wanting to have sex with him, you're like, well, it's not my fault. He's the one who's in a relationship. So if he makes a pass at me, what am I supposed to do? And you are trying to put the responsibility that you have on him. And I, quite frankly, I think that's kind of shitty and wrong. People do it all the time. And yeah, as far as his wife is concerned, like, you're not her problem, and she should be totally mad at him if for what he did and what he wants to do. But we're talking about you. We're talking about your conscience. We're talking about, like, if, you know, she isn't your problem, his wife, and he isn't your problem, but, like, you're trying to do the right thing, and this is how you do the right thing. And the right thing isn't putting all the responsibility on him.
Right. Thanks.
So.
Yeah, I guess I would. Yeah. It's funny how the unconscious comes out and you don't realize that you were participating in it.
Yeah, but I think you realize it more than you want to.
Okay. I know. I'm old and I'm smart and I know better.
Hey, but listen, like I said,
turned on by a romantic fantasy.
I get it, man. I get it, you know? And again, good for you. Way to have that swag, you know? Like, again, you know, whatever, you know? Like, remember that time, use it. It's up to you. But if you want to do the right thing, that's how you do it. Choice is yours. Well, thanks for calling.
Thanks for listening.
All right. Best of luck.
Okay. Thank you then.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, ladies, I hear this a lot from my friends and women in my life, and I'm sure you can relate, but healthcare for women is often unnecessarily complicated. That's right. Life is stressful enough. Access to healthcare shouldn't be. Luckily, getting birth control is one less thing you have to worry about. With the Pill Club, you'll never have to make a trip to the doctor or wait in line at the pharmacy ever again. They provide access to care from the comfort of your home and delivery to your door in discreet packaging. Well, that must be nice and convenient. So if you need to renew a birth control prescription, want to switch out a birth control, maybe try it for the first time, whether you know the brand you want or you need help finding the best option, Pill Club Medical Team has your back. And the Pill Club is just trying to streamline this process and make it simple, easy, and again, getting the right health care that you need. The Pill Club is a birth control subscription prescribed by a medical professional and delivered straight to your door for free. The Pill Club carries over 120 FDA-approved brands. Most brands of birth control are free with insurance or Medicaid. Otherwise, prices start as low as $9 without insurance. The Pill Club delivers birth control to your door for free in discreet packaging. Right now, when you go to thepillclub.com/VIALL, The Pill Club is offering a $10 donation to bedsider.org for every Vial Files listener who becomes a patient. Your donation will help low-income individuals get access to birth control through bedsider.org. That's thepillclub.com/VIALL to get your first birth control care package and donate to help more women in need of affordable birth control. Reminder, thepillclub.com/VIALL. You must use the link to make a donation.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's your name?
My name's Anastasia and I'm 34.
How can I help?
So my question revolves around red flags versus flaws. And just a quick background, in the past, I have always noticed red flags and just kind of ignored them completely. And now, fast forward, I feel like I'm really good at just seeing them and cutting guys loose really quickly. But I have a hard time realizing, is this just a red flag or just something I don't like and I can get used to? And I just kind of need some help figuring that out.
So give me an example of what you think a red flag is and what you think a flaw is.
For example, like a red flag would be like someone who has a history of like fighting all the time or drinking all the time or showing up on a first date like really drunk.
That's, that would be a red flag. Right.
And then I think this is my bad, but in the past, if a guy's been like a really poor planner, I stopped dating them because I just don't think it can really go anywhere from there. And it seems like a red flag.
If you're cutting out all men who are poor planners, you're really limiting the pool of men you can date.
I agree.
Like, I think that's a
problem. But the thing is, like, some guys are really good planners.
I didn't say no guys are good planners. I said if you're going to eliminate guys who are planners, you're just cutting a huge percentage. I would say more than half the guys in this world wouldn't consider themselves to be good planners, especially when it comes to like romance.
Yeah.
But well, there are plenty of guys who are planners, and I'm not saying, you know, that's one of those things where, yes, that would be a flaw, especially a pref, and that would be more of a pet peeve, as we've talked about before. So there's nothing wrong with you valuing a guy for being a planner and being attracted to that. And that's great that if you find that, right, then you have to decide, how am I going to prioritize this planning person? You know, what would you rather have? Like, what would you rather have? A guy who is a planner, plans dates, go out of his ways, you know, hey, babe, I got Friday night's plan. You know, I mean, guess what? Saturday's plan too. And get ready for Sunday. I got you. But also has a really bad temper. You know, and when you don't like his plan, he throws a temper tantrum and he gets mad and he gets angry. So what would, versus the guy who's like, what are you doing tonight, babe? I don't know. Oh, we'll think of something, you know, like, what do you want to do? I don't know. We'll think of something. But like, either way, you know, if he gets frustrated, he's like patient and calm and he communicates, like, which one would you rather have?
I mean, obviously I'd want the guy who has like a good character over planning skills. And like, I'd like to say I do that, but I obviously don't. I just,
yeah.
I wish
so, like, you're just confusing, you know, your pet peeves and your non-negotiables, right? So, like, you saying, like, I don't know, I just, if a guy's not a poor planner, psh, like, you're treating a pet peeve like a non-negotiable.
Yeah.
So, like, so many guys who are poor planners might be great guys for you, and there's so many other characteristics that you might be attracted to. You're focusing on that. So, like, what else are you bugged by?
I mean, sometimes, like, if a guy is significantly younger than me, I just see it as, I don't even know if you call it a red flag, but maybe just like a yellow flag.
I think that's a red flag, right? And again, red flag is not a run or you know, but it's something to watch out for. Any age difference, and I've been in a relationship with someone who's younger than me, you know, like, that is like, I'm under no illusions that there are things in our relationship we have to be mindful of. We have to give, you know, we got to pay attention to certain things because, like, we got to make sure we're on the same page. And in a lot of ways we are, and she's lived a different life than I have. Right. So, you know, like, her early 20s were much different than mine, and a lot more life, but that doesn't take away from the fact that I don't just like be like, oh, well, there's nothing to see here, so you just got to pay attention to it. It is a red flag, right? It's something I have to acknowledge, right? So again, you can be aware of a red flag and just feel it out, you know, like, you be mindful of it. So, like, if you're dating a guy who's, like, you know, younger than you, then you're obviously, what are the obvious things? You know, is he immature? You know, are we on the same level? Are we have the same life goals? You know, how old are you again?
I'm 34.
You're on 34. So I don't know what you want. Do you want to get married?
Yes.
Do you want to have kids?
Yep, all the things.
Right? So you want all those things. You need to be realistic about the things that you want and things that you're ready for. And right off the bat, I wouldn't invest too much time in younger men who like to slow play things. Now, again, I would still be cautious about a guy who's like, I'm ready for marriage and kids, and he's like 24. Maybe he is, right? But like, you still would want to, you know. And then if a guy says he, you know, if a 24-year-old guy, 25-year-old guy says he's ready for marriage and kids, then that's a great sign that he says he wants that. But I'd be curious about past relationships. You know, I'd be curious about, has he been in love before? Has he had his heart broken? Has he lived some life? Has he talked about, like, what is the situation? Let's say his past relationship, he was, you know, dated for a girl for, let's say, a year and a half, 2 years, and they thought they were going to get engaged, and they talked, you know, so that means he's actively have thought about it. It is a real goal of his, and it's not just something he says to you because, well, I'm dating an older woman, so I want her to think that I'm mature for my age. You just pay attention to little things and ask questions. So red flags are just, especially early on, a reason to ask more follow-up questions. Yeah. It's not a reason to run. It's just, okay, well, what does this potential red flag mean? What are the risks with this red flag? And then what are the questions I should ask this person? Again, dating is all about getting to know someone, right? Mm-hmm. And you have to ask questions to get to know them and be open to like hearing their answer and then processing it and seeing where it goes. And then knowing the difference between, you know, your pet peeves and your non-negotiables and red flags. And non-negotiables, yeah, other than like someone, if someone shows up drunk to a date, I think it's pretty disrespectful.
Yeah.
You know?
That's pretty bad. I mean, in the past, I would date those guys for a year. So I've learned
really?
My lesson.
A whole year. And just out of curiosity, so like, you know, someone shows up drunk for a date. That's a pretty big red flag. Now, there are exceptions to every rule. Maybe they just like, you give them a shot. You're like, I just came from partying. Like, you know, and they took one, you know, they're leaving the party. I got this hot day. Like, the friends are like, oh, man, just take a shot, man. And they're like, you know, I can see how that can happen. But clearly these other people, they probably kept showing you signs that the reason they were drunk in the first date was a result of they have a hard time saying no to the shots. You know, they have a hard time. They're people pleasers, maybe. You know, they're constantly trying to please their friends and everyone around them at the risk of upsetting their partners. People do it all the time. They want to be, everyone wants to be liked. Oh, I want everyone to like me. And, you know, everyone, you know, that's what likable people have their red flags too, because what do they have to do to get everyone to like them? You know?
Yeah.
And maybe they're too busy pleasing everyone rather than pleasing the people they really value and want in their lives. So, you know, that's something to consider or take a look at.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I think in general, I've just been thinking about red flags differently. For some reason, I just, when I see one, I'm like, I run, and then that's the end of it. But
You're probably overcompensating for the fact that like you can acknowledge that you've ignored red flags in the past.
Oh, yeah.
And like, you went from dating a guy who showed up drunk on the first date, and then throughout your year relationship gave you plenty of reasons of why you should not be in this relationship that solidified that it wasn't an accident that he showed up drunk. It was kind of part of his personality. And now you're realizing this, and then you've used that information to like not go out with guys who won't plan, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty bad. It's one extreme to the other, but
so
I'm trying.
Find the balance, you know? Have conversation. Like, do you talk to yourself? We all do, but like,
I talk to myself.
Like, what is it? Yeah,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Like, when you meet the guy who's not a planner, what's the conversation going on in your head? Like, how do you make that decision, or do you just say, "Nope, planner," and end? Do you not have that dialogue with yourself?
I 100% do. I just say to myself, "Well, if I want to eventually like settle down and have like a unit of some sort, I'm going to need someone who can like plan ahead and have structure and da da da." It's just like a maturity thing. I just assume like everyone after 30 knows how to plan, but maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know what I'm doing for lunch. Well, actually, I'm a creature of habit. The only planning I do is the same thing over and over because I'm a creature of habit. So I know where I'm getting lunch because that's just where I get lunch. I have no idea what I'm doing tonight.
How do you live your life though?
Like, what do you mean?
Like, if you don't plan, like, how do you know what you're doing?
Something. I'm going to do something.
Just doing something.
I don't have anything I have to do. If there's things I have to do that are important, if they're a priority, but like every night doesn't have to be a priority.
I know. That's true. I don't know. I just thought planning and maturity go hand in hand, but
no. not in its simplest form. I mean, like, yeah. When I have goals, I have priorities, and those goals and priorities, I do have some sort of plan. I have a goal. Right? So to, in that respect, sure, I'm more of a goal-oriented person who, like, can visualize a plan of how to meet a goal. But that has nothing to do with, like, what I'm doing this weekend.
Yeah. I hear you.
You know, when people come up to me in, like, October, and they're just like, so what should we do for New Year's Eve? I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? It's October.
I know some people know what they want to do, though.
Well, there's pros and cons to that. Like, some people get overly committed to, like, making plans about one silly night, you know, 2 months in advance, and then you hype it up, and it's just like, again, so it depends on what you're planning for.
I know. I do think sometimes it's a green flag in the sense that if you can plan, you can commit to something. And I know it's not that black and white, but, like, when I think of someone who can stick to a plan, I'm like, oh, you can stick to other things in your life.
I think that's, yeah, that's a dangerous analogy. Just because someone, like, knows how to plan a Halloween costume on September 15th doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be a good partner in any way, shape, or form.
I know. If it's that simple, I know. It's not that simple, but I don't know. It's just, like, an attractive quality in someone.
I'm not saying don't find it attractive. I'm saying just put it in something that you like. Just like I don't know, you know. Just like it was like, oh, it'd be cool like to like date a girl who likes the Packers.
Yeah.
You know, or, right. You know, it's like, it's a nice to have. It's not a necessity.
Yeah. And it's not a red flag.
No. I mean, again, like it depends on the context matters in this situation very much. So, and when what you refer to as planning, but you're making a huge generalization on what planning means, especially when it comes to like planning a weekend or planning a trip, you know, when it comes for me planning a trip, it's like, I want to travel. So let's do it and we'll figure it out. And there's some planning. It just all depends on how big of a goal it is. But like, you know, it's Friday afternoon. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a goal of having the most amazing weekend of my life, you know? So I'm not really going out of my way to make sure that I have the most amazing weekend of my life. It'll be fine one way or the other, right? If I think to myself, I want to do something nice for my girlfriend this weekend, I will make some sort of plan, mm-hmm. you know? But, like, I'm not a planner, you know? So, yeah, I think you're probably missing out on some pretty nice guys by guys who aren't willing to, like, go out of the way to plan a big date or something. Or who guys have been like, I don't know, like, what, tomorrow's New Year's Eve? Oh, cool. Like, I'll figure it out.
Yeah, I probably am. I think I'm emphasizing the importance of planning too much, but I think it's only because in the past there hasn't been a lot of planning, and so it's just, like, something I crave, but... Obviously, it's not the only thing in somebody. There's a lot more to it.
Well, yeah, a lot more. Yeah, exactly. Like, you could have a planner who has a drinking problem.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just paying attention to, you know, again, like you said, pet peeves, non-negotiables, red flags mm-hmm. versus things that kind of annoy you or things you prefer. So you need to really sit down and figure out some of the triggering things from people in your past and figure out what those qualities are and really figure out how to identify those in people. And you're kind of all over the map on what you think it's, you know, what to look for now because, you know. And to some, you know, you just, you know, so yeah, just get better at looking for that. Because you're right now kind of projecting the wrong things and then you're limiting, you know, potentially good guys who could be very reliable, very kind, very responsible and not be planners.
Yeah, that takes a while to wrap my head around, but it's true. I'm definitely confusing the two. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but people do it all the time. So, you know, it's good that you can recognize that. And thank you for calling in because I think that's something people do a lot. And we talk a lot about not, you know, red flags, non-negotiables, pet peeves. I know Logan Urie obviously talked a lot about in her book and we've been talking a lot about it since. But, you know, in theory, you know, people understand the concept between confusing red flags and pet peeves, but this is a very specific thing where you're confusing being a planner with being reliable.
Yeah, I am.
So, and not someone you, and someone who's not reliable, who someone you can't count on, is definitely a non-negotiable.
100%.
So.
Yeah.
You are going to have to give people a chance to show you that they're not reliable. But when they show you, don't date them for a year.
No,
when
I
they
won't.
Show up drunk for a first date, that's not reliable.
That's bad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a good
one. If they're constantly late, if they're constantly changing plans, you know, that's not reliable. When you ask them to do something and they say they're going to do it and they don't do it, that's not reliable.
Yeah.
And they give him maybe a couple chances, but after that, especially if you don't have any, if you have more reasons, if they've shown you more that they're unreliable than reliable, then you have your answer, especially early on. But you're going to have to like give some people a shot, even though you've been disappointed in the past. But once again, like the good news is this is not because you've settled too much. You've given people excuses. And so now you just have to pay attention to it and let go. You know, so do that instead of one of the two extremes, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to get somewhere in the middle. That's right. The goal.
There you go. All right, well, thank you for calling. That was really helpful. Thanks. All right, thanks. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye. How's it going?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good. What's your name?
Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm 32.
How can I help, Sarah?
Well, I've been seeing a guy for about 2 months. The first couple of weeks we were texting constantly. He's always texting me, giving me lots of compliments. Our first couple of dates, he told me he's, you know, really into me. He's intimidated by me, and, you know, would go on lists about all this stuff he likes about me. The last few weeks he's been kind of fizzling off a little bit, not texting as much, no compliments, you know, like barely talking. So I thought, no big deal, he's not really into it. I kind of stopped texting him as much. And then just 2 days ago, it was my birthday. And in the morning, I walked up to my car and I found a big bouquet of flowers and cheesecake and a card on my windshield from this guy that I was seeing. Now, he lives about an hour away from me. So at 5 o'clock in the morning, he woke up, got his kids ready for school, got someone else to take his kids to school, and then drove an hour to my house, an hour back to work. So I thought that's a pretty big statement. Obviously he likes me. And then since then he hasn't said more than 2 or 3 words to me.
What was your response to the gift?
So I'm just, you know, I texted him right away. I just said like, oh, you should see the smile on my face right now. You know, I'm so happy. You're so nice. That makes you feel great. You know, I was really happy about it. And keep in mind, whenever I do text him, he texts me back right away. It's never like waiting hours or anything like that. I just can't figure out, like, is he just comfortable not talking to me a lot, or does he like me? Does he not?
How long have you been dating this guy?
About 2 months.
2 months. How often do you hang out?
Well, that's the thing. We both have kids, so we see each other maybe every 10 days or so. That's another thing is there doesn't seem to be any sense of urgency. I haven't seen him in 2 weeks now. And I said something about us hanging out and he said, yeah, we definitely can. But, you know, wasn't trying to push to plan a date or anything.
And he's got kids. And so, I mean, right off to like, so yeah, I mean, listen, the going, that was a big move, right? You know, he really went out of his way to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, look, most guys in like, that's a big thing. It's a real, he definitely went out of his way. So like, he didn't do that on accident. I can get flowers from my girlfriend. I'd be like, hey, Cindy, can you bring some flowers over on your way over to do, you know, housework? And I still get credit for like getting Natalie flowers, you know, and it's still like, she's still like, it got me flowers, but like, you know, I didn't drive anywhere and I didn't, minimal effort. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that like Natalie shouldn't be happy I got her flowers, but just to be totally candid, it didn't take all that much, which speaks to like, maybe I should just keep doing the things that are, you know, like men don't even do the things that they don't have to put much effort in. This guy is waking up at 5:30 in the morning, and he has to find people to cover for him, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that is definitely something. There's no reason to think he's like lying about his situation.
No, not at all. He's he sent me a screenshot of like both of his kids play pretty high up hockey, and he sent me screenshots of their schedule and that kind of thing. So I know he is really busy with them, but you know, and I listen to your podcast all the time. Like, I'm aware it takes 30 seconds to send me a text, you know, it's not.
Yeah.
So to say he's too busy to talk to me is silly, but. So.
Have you like asked him in terms of like, he can be busy. You've been dating him for 2 months. That's a decent amount enough time, especially if he's doing these grand gestures for your birthday, to check in and say, hey, well, what's going on? Set some expectations around, is there something here? Do we want to invest more time? You know, like 2 months, you know, it's, you don't want to put too much expectation around someone you just started dating. It's still pretty early, especially with you guys having kids. You know, you have other priorities and other things going on, and you two know very little bit about each other. So you're just like, yeah, I don't want to invest too much in someone I don't know. But now at 2 months, it's okay to at least say, all right, well, I don't know if you like me, but I still like you. So I'd like to be a little bit more of a priority. I'd like to see you more, you know, I'd like to make more of an effort, whatever that is. You know, if he's got hockey games with his kids, maybe can you go to a hockey game or something, you know, you know, like, and so you're just going to have to be able to ask him, you know, do you like me? And just say, I'm really enjoying, I'd like to see you more. I'd like to spend more time with you. Overthinking how much a guy texts you or doesn't text you. Yeah. That's dangerous territory. Cause like guys, we just don't think and you know, how old is he?
37.
Yeah. 37 with kids. I'm like, text, it's something he's just like, doesn't have the energy to do.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. I felt, you know, silly saying that. I know when you start dating someone, you're going to be texting a lot more and frequently.
But then after like the first initial,
I know it's
like,
gonna fizzle off, but I just thought that was weird timing.
Yeah. I mean, it's still early enough that like, you know, with the fact that he has kids, the fact that you guys live a bit away, like if this is going to work, he's going to have to make it a priority. Right. And now that's something, instead of you focusing on, does he like me? You should focus on, what if he does like me? And this is how much time he's willing to invest in this relationship.
Yeah, that's true.
And if so, what does that tell you? Like, what do you, are you okay with that?
Yeah. The first couple of weeks he did, you know, he'd shuffle his kids around or get someone to take them to hockey instead, just so that he could see me. Now that's not happening as much. So also not a good sign, I think, but.
Yeah, because one of those things, and I can't sit there and say, oh, he definitely doesn't like you. I don't know what it's like to be a single dad and prioritize that. I can tell you that both men and women, you know, will definitely settle in to their groove once they get comfortable. And people can get comfortable after a month or two, or they might get comfortable after 6 months or a year. And clearly this guy has shown the ability to go out of his way. So you know what he's capable of. And so the fact that he is not, and I'm guessing, I don't want to speak for you, but I'm guessing you would prefer him to go out of his way on a more consistent basis without, and not requiring it to be such a grand gesture all the time. Like, you don't need him to wake up at 5 a.m. and get someone to cover for him. And while you love the flowers, that was all great. You would rather just like have him prioritize seeing you a little bit more often.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not needy. I don't need him to see me, you know, 5 times a week. We both have lives and everything, but
the thing to do is to check in with him and just let him know where you're at. If you like him, then you say you like him. If you want to spend more time with him, you spend more time with him, and you just say, hey, is there a way we can, you know, see each other more. I want to get to know you more. Mm-hmm. And I know we're busy, but it, again, it's about making the time, right? Yeah. You might say, oh, I'm just sorry. I'm just so busy. I do like you. And you don't want to convince him, you know, it comes down to, is he willing to make it a priority? Mm-hmm. Because you're right. Like, how can you really get to know someone seeing him every 10 days and him texting you every so often? And if you only got to see each other every 10 days, then yeah, he would need to step it up on other forms of communication, text, Zoom, mm-hmm. FaceTime dates at night or whatever, and just yeah. be consistent. And what you're lacking with him is this consistency. So right. I think it's good that you tell him that you want more consistency without, like, I want more consistency, but like, I want to spend more time with you, whatever that means. And mm-hmm. I'm getting a sense from you that it's unclear and see what he says, and then mm-hmm. see if he gets defensive, then that's a good indicator that he doesn't want to change.
Yeah. That's true.
And it doesn't really matter if he likes you or not. So you know what I'm saying? That's an easy way to mm-hmm. figure out, because, you know, a lot of women in your position will, the big question you ask yourself is, does he like me? Right? So then you'll say, oh, do you like me? And he says, yeah, I like you. So, oh, thank God. Okay, good. I wasn't sure. Right? Yeah. And then you put so much weight into him saying he likes you that nothing really changes, because you got that validation because you were so afraid that he wouldn't like you. Right? So instead of worrying about mm-hmm. that, again, when we say this a lot, what do you want? And you want to spend more time, and you kind of give them the roadmap or the playbook of what time, how you want to spend that time. And, you know, you're like, hey, listen, we have priorities. It's just, again, you want a FaceTime date? I want to talk to you more. I don't know that much about you. And I loved what you did for my birthday. It was so nice, you know, but I'd rather just be more consistent in getting to know you, because there's so much I'm so interested in and want to learn. And again, a big indicator of how much they're willing to kind of meet you in the middle or compromise is how defensive they get or not get. And if he's just like, well, I don't know, I'm just busy. Like, what do you want me to do? Or I don't know, I'll try. Like, it's not going to happen. So it doesn't really matter whether he tells you he likes you or not. It's how he responds. I mean, if he doesn't say, if he's like, I don't know, I'm not feeling it, then you have your answer. But it also, I really like you. Oh no, I like you. Also, doesn't mean much either. I like you, but you know, means I don't like you enough. You know, I think I did a TikTok or something like that. But pay attention when you tell him what you want, and when you tell him what you're looking for, pay very close attention to his answer. And if there's a but in there, then I think it's time to, and he very well may like you. So then you can tell your ego to, like, just chill out, right? Because it's not about, oh, he doesn't like me. It's, this is how he likes you. And maybe he's just not in a position to, and even if this is who he is, right? Then there's a lot of people who love to bide their time with grand gestures. You know, mm-hmm. the grand gestures are not what make a relationship. It's the consistency. It's showing up. It's being able to count on someone and rely on them, and them making you a priority. And he might not be in a position to make anyone a priority right now, because, and maybe it's, he's just in full on dad mode. And I can, you know, I'm sure mm-hmm. as a single parent, you can understand, you know, sometimes you just saw about the kids, and right now he might just be focused on mm-hmm. that. But you don't make the mistake of trying to make this work just because there's a little bit of interest there.
Yeah, that's true. Do you think this is a conversation I can have over text, or should I wait till?
I wouldn't text. I would definitely, it doesn't have to be in person, but over the phone at the minimum, or FaceTime. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, with technology being what it is today and how socially acceptable FaceTime is, there's absolutely, like, mm-hmm. no reason in a dating situation people should not at a minimum be communicating through that, because you want to see his body language. You want to see, does he roll his eyes? Does he, you know, how does he look?
Yeah. You're right.
Text, really, really, really. I mean, there's almost no way you won't be more confused if you have this conversation via text.
Yeah, that's true.
You're giving him time to think about it. You're giving him time to maybe ask questions, how he can respond. And then you might take it the wrong way. Again, when you read text, you read it in how you're feeling, not how they're feeling.
Right.
But when you FaceTime, it's you hear their voice, you mm-hmm. hear their tone of their voice, you their body language. All these things are big indicators of how they really feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Okay.
The only right answer he can give you when you tell him what you want is, "Oh my God, thank you for sharing. I like you. Like I've been feeling the same way. You know what? You make a good point. You're right. Let's spend more time together." It's the only right answer. I like you, but I'm just busy and my kids is like, and again, he may very well like you, but he's letting you know that he has no real plans of actually changing. And then you're just going to have to accept this amount of time he's willing to give you and know what you're willing to accept before you ask for an answer. Don't decide if you're willing to accept what he's willing to give. Like, have your boundaries set before you tell them. Right? And right now you know that this isn't enough for you. And that's okay. And there's no thought of, like, am I asking too much? Like, no. It's just like, I want to date a guy who's willing to spend more time with me. That's it. And some people, this might be the perfect amount of time. It's not perfect for you. So don't settle.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I was pretty confident. And then when he started fizzling, I went, oh, you know, he's not into it. That's fine. But
yeah, you never know. Don't guess. Just let him know what you want. And I will say a lot of guys just, you know, we get absent-minded. We're not thinking about it. We get a little comfortable. We can get a little lazy and doesn't mean, and sometimes we just need to hear, I'd like to spend more time. And the right guy who likes you can be like, oh God, yeah, totally. Oh my God. Yes. And I can't, mm-hmm. I don't know how it's going to be. It could go either way. He may very well just need to hear it from you. And he may well just not be really able, you know, and don't make it about you. Don't be like, oh, he doesn't know like me. Like, maybe he's just focused on being a good dad right now.
Yeah.
That's all he can really give you. But that doesn't mean you should accept less. All right.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much.
All right. No problem. Best of luck. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. You too. Take care. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's your name?
My name's Alyssa and I'm 27 years old.
How can I help, Alyssa?
So I have a little bit of a friend romantic dilemma. I'm going to try and make this story short, but I had this acquaintance. We had a lot of mutual friends. We recently went on a group trip together and we really hit it off. Super flirty. The weeks following with it, spent a lot of time together in group settings and got really like way closer, affectionate physically, nothing more than like a kiss on the cheek, but would talk about like future plans and stuff. And I was apprehensive to take it any further because we are in the same friend group. And then I kind of got the balls to ask him out on a date and he said yes, but we were both out of town the next week and nothing really happened after that. And when we saw each other the next time, I was a little bit standoffish because I was embarrassed and I didn't know where we were at with each other. And one of our mutual friends asked him, what's going on with you guys? Are you going to go on a date? It's obvious that you like each other. And he kind of gave the same answer saying, yes, but I'm also apprehensive because we're friends. We're in the same friend group. So I just don't know where to go from here because I like him, but I don't want to like beat a dead horse if he's not into it.
Well, I think you both have the same problem of pretending you guys are friends.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the friend group kind of makes it super inconvenient because, you know, the group, everyone's always protective of the group, mm-hmm. but you're not friends. There's nothing to protect. Yeah. So one of you two are just going to have to muster up the courage to make the first move. And I'm sure you would love it to be him. And he would probably love it to be you. And someone's just going to have to do it.
Yeah.
But you're not. I said this before a lot on Questions with Nick. because I get that question a lot then, is you're not friends. Stop saying you are. Mm-hmm. Even if you were unsure about his feelings towards you, even if you didn't get some sort of confirmation about, like, yeah, I mean, it's great. But, like, if once you start feeling romantically about someone and you're, you know, and you want to pursue something, like, that's not a friendship.
Yeah. And I found myself, like, not going to certain social gatherings because I know he's going to be there. And I can't act as if we're friends. Like, I can't go back to, like, how it was. It, for me, it's like, I either need to, like, go all in and, like, do this with him, or, like, I can't be friends with you.
So why can't you?
It's not comfortable for me.
Why can't you make the first, I mean, why can't you make the first move? You're at a point where it's already affecting your choices, and rightfully so. Yeah. I get it. Like, good for you for setting those boundaries. But, like, why can't you now just do it?
I guess I'm scared. And I also feel like I did make that first move initially to ask him out, and I didn't necessarily get the response that I wanted.
What did he say again? What did, remind me?
He said yes. But then we were both out of town the next week, and I kind of followed up with a text just to, like, check in and, like, say, hey, like, how are you? And, like, it never went anywhere. And I was hoping that, you know, I put the ball in his court and he would take the lead, but he didn't.
Okay, well, that's maybe a sign that he doesn't want it.
Yeah.
And you're basing his potential interest. What are some of the signs that he does want it?
When we're together, we're very, like, physically affectionate. We've talked a lot about, like, future plans, and he'll say things like, we have this trip planned with our other friends, and he's like, we're going to share a room, right? And I'm like, yeah. Or
have you guys hooked up?
We haven't.
All right. So yeah. My answer still stands. You just have to go for it. And since I'm talking to you, I'm just going to tell you to go for it because I can't convince him to do it.
Yeah.
Right. And it's still possible. He's just reluctant about this, and like you, kind of like, is making it more confusing than it needs to be. Mm-hmm. So you need to explain, you know, instead of just be like, hey, do you want to go out? Because you asking him out doesn't give him any clarity on, well, what do we do if it doesn't work out, type of bullshit questions we often ask ourselves. Mm-hmm. So part of you making this move would to be like, hey, let's get together. Don't ask him on a date. Just say, like, grab a coffee. I want to talk. I don't know. Face, you know, do it in person if you can. Okay. And just say, I like you. I feel strongly about you romantically. And so any thought of, like, ruining this friendship that we have, I'm well past that. Because even if you don't feel the same way about me, and I will respect that, like, I'm going to have to, like, I don't want to be your pal. I'm not interested in that. So, like, I'm not worried about ruining our friendship because, like, I don't think of you that way anymore. I think of you as something more. So this is just me letting you know because I want to see. And then again, it's always great to, like, you can be vulnerable and play it cool at the same time. The playing it cool is to go for it. Don't leave anything on the table, but also don't act like you're going to die if you don't get the answer you want.
Yeah.
Just be like, I'll live. I'll be okay. But I'm strong enough, you know, show the strength that he probably wishes he had in himself. And that's attractive.
Okay.
And I don't know what he's going to say, but at least he'll get a clear answer. And not let him beat around the bush about, like, well, I don't know, I don't want to ruin our friendship. Like, fuck it. I don't care about the friend group. I don't care about our friendship. I don't really, like, we're not that good of friends anyways. But I think we could be great lovers, you know, have some fun with it. I don't know. But really put yourself out there.
Okay.
And I would tell him the same thing if he called up and said, you know, and who does it first ultimately doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's also quite something you can give him shit for in a playful way if your boyfriend and girlfriend, like, hey, way to nut up. When, oh, wait, you didn't, you know. I don't know, but, like, it really doesn't matter. It really makes no difference. So you might as well do it and do it in person and have a conversation. Like, this whole, like, we should go on a date.
What? I can see how that could be confusing for him and how he might drag his feet, even if he kind of likes you too.
Really? In what way?
Well, because again, if you are quote unquote friends, you have this friend group, but you asked him out like a random girl would have asked him out. Like, it's not that simple.
Okay.
You know, like if you're on a dating app and you meet some guy, you're like, hey, yeah, I mean, like, I don't know, you like your face, let's grab a drink. And he's like, cool, I got nothing to lose. I don't even know who this chick is. And so, yeah, sure. And it sounds to me like that's kind of what you did, but that's not what it was. What it was like, we're friends and we have this whole group and like we know each other, but like we're going to pretend that we're not friends. Like, just acknowledge what the situation is and just go from there. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're trying to like, oh, well. Pretend it's not what it, you know, just put it all out there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm excited. I'm going to do this.
Great. And I'm glad you're excited. It's better than being scared.
Yeah. I think this is going to be a huge moment for me to be vulnerable and put myself out there regardless of the outcome.
Yeah.
I feel pretty empowered right now to do this.
Great.
So I'm going to try and act on it while I can.
And if you don't get the answer you want, you will be okay. And don't let them see you be sad. There's nothing more attractive than a girl being vulnerable and be like, I like you. And then being like, it's cool. I'll be cool. Don't let them see you get all sad. Just be like, okay, well, I'm glad. Okay. I'm glad I told you. And yeah. Okay, cool. And then go home and cry to your friends. That's fine. But don't let them see it. Don't, like, let him know what is also, it is true. You will be fine. And let him see you be fine when he doesn't get when you don't get the answer you want, if that happens.
Okay. My like natural reaction to him not reciprocating it would be to like kind of retreat and not see him or any of our friends, or really just mainly him.
Well, that's fine. And because you're making that clear. You're letting him know that, like, listen, I don't want to be your friend. So while I'll be fine, I still like feel a certain way. And yeah, that's okay with letting him know that there's a processing period and like you don't want to be his friend. And who knows if it will change, but I don't, like, it's nothing against you. I'm not mad. I just don't want to keep hanging out with you. I don't want to keep pretending to be your friend because I want to have something more. Like, just, you know, like, that's the vulnerable side. Like, it's just that you don't want to be like, oh, well, and you don't want to be like, well, I guess we'll be friends because I have, like, this idea that you'll do whatever it takes to have him in your life. That's what you, that's the one thing you don't want him to think.
Yeah.
Because that's what we often do. It's like, well, you're so special to me, then I'll just do whatever it is you want to still have whatever it is you're willing to offer me to be in your life. And people will take advantage of that, even if they think they love you and care about you. But that's what he can't think.
I'm going to go on.
Here's what you are willing to accept. Here's his options to have you in his life. And it's up to him whether he wants to take you up on that offer.
Okay. All right. I'm going to lay it out. I'm going to ask him.
You're offering a proposition. He can buy. He cannot buy. Either way, that's the offer. Take it or leave it. You're not negotiating.
I love that.
All right.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your advice.
All right. Best of luck.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening, guys. Always appreciate you tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe. Tell your friends. Sending your questions at asknick@castme.com. Cast with a K. Always need your stories. Be sure to check out our recap with Max, musical guest on The Bachelorette, Bachelor fanatic, and check out our episode on Wednesday with the legendary Steve-O from Jackass. You won't want to miss those episodes. Thanks for listening.